When you kind of look at pictures right above us and right above me is a picture here, and you notice it has a little border or a frame around it, and that's kind of typical of pictures, generally speaking. There's a frame around it. I use that as a little bit of an analogy for what Deacon Chris has just proclaimed. In the gospel here, we have a description of discipleship, an ongoing description, by the way. Each Sunday in this particular set of gospels, we're going to have a description of what is discipleship. What has happened in modern times is the fact that discipleship is similar to something like this. There is a picture that emerges in the New Testament of what discipleship actually is, and it's framed in the whole idea of discipleship as Jesus wanted it to be. But if I were to take the picture out and leave the border, there are some people that don't like the picture. The picture, for whatever sets of reasons, is either too challenging, or it's considered out of date, or somehow or other it just doesn't fit. So there's a group of people that kind of put a mirror inside the frame. And so when they look at discipleship and what it all means, it's a perfect reflection of themselves. And they find that to be much more satisfying, less challenging, obviously, and there isn't much anxiety associated with it. How could you possibly not like what you're looking at? You're looking at a mirror. What drives people nuts is a picture that won't change. And that's precisely what the New Testament does. The New Testament frames out for us very clearly what are the challenges of discipleship. And quite frankly, for all of us, you, me, everybody, it can be more challenging a picture than we would like. There's nothing vague about what Jesus is saying about the characteristics or the qualities of discipleship. First of all, Jesus is saying, if I'm going to be a good disciple of the Lord, I have to love the Lord. The Lord has to be the highest priority in my life. I got to do God's loving will every single day of my life. And that will of God, that loving will of God, is found in Scripture and in the living voice of the Spirit-filled church. If I'm going to be a good disciple of the Lord, I can't be possessed by my possessions, that I have to be able to be someone who forgives, and that somehow or other, I don't ask the question, who's my neighbor, setting limits on that. As a good disciple of the Lord, I ask the question, to whom should I be neighbor? Answer, every man, woman, and child. That kind of a portrait is unsettling, because though we all would like to do it, quite frankly, it is unsettling, it tends to be challenging, and quite frankly, it isn't easily done. And in fact, it's a lifetime experience for most of us. And it isn't that the picture isn't clear. It's a clear picture that's being sketched out as to what is discipleship. The difficulty is that you and I experience internal pressures and external pressures, and it makes it so difficult to embrace that picture and live it out every single day. For example, what are some of the reasons what makes discipleship difficult? I would say, first of all, poor religious education and formation. There's a whole generation of young folks that just simply did not get a good program of religious education and formation. And it was for a variety of reasons, and historically in the history of the Catholic Church here in the United States in the 60s and the 70s or whatever, the programs could have been a little stronger. They were in the process of making transitions, and some places just simply didn't do it as well as it could have done it. Thank God a lot of that has come to an end, and programs not only have been stabilized but also strengthened. But nevertheless, there's a whole generation of people that may not have had the benefit of good religious education. Second of all, another reason, another pressure put on us that gives a lot of difficulty for us to embrace this picture of discipleship, I think, is bad modeling at home. Most of us have had good modeling at home, but there are a number of young people whose parents have simply, for whatever sets of reasons, given up. And so they drop the kids off at religious aid, and then they kind of go home and go their separate way. And when religious aid's over, they come and pick the kids up. So the kids get the very clear message. You obviously aren't all that turned on. You're not all that enthused by the whole thing. And so therefore, why should I? Also, too, there are an awful lot of cultural pressures not to embrace, if you will, the portrait of discipleship. Things that you have no control over, but are in our environment, in our society, in what we read, in what we hear, in what we see. It's all around us. And these myths, these particular values that are there, obviously challenge you. And if we don't somehow engage those myths, if somehow or other we don't go and involve ourselves with trying to explain that some of these myths simply aren't true, then, of course, they block our ability to be good disciples. What are some of the myths today? One of them would be the generalization. There's just too much to do nowadays. Years ago, we had time for church. Nowadays, we don't have time for church because I got 12,000 tasks that I must perform. That is a myth that needs to be engaged and a myth that needs to be demythologized. I am not a theist. I used to be, but now I just kind of believe in some sort of intelligence in the great beyond somewhere that has put this universe together. But whether there is a personal God, whether we can have a relationship with God, I really don't know. And again, since I'm so very busy, I don't get into it all that much. Another myth is religion is for weak people. I can handle my life. I'm a rather self-reliant, independent, hard-charging individual. I don't really need religion because it's basically for weak people. And it's really nice for religion to be around for all those people who have all those problems, not me. Another myth. Most people who are religious are hypocrites. We've heard that a million times. So those of us who acknowledge and recognize the fact that, yes, we're essentially good people, but on occasion we do bad things, the other crowd says, oh, you're all a bunch of hypocrites because you're never perfect. Well, of course not. I'm not perfect. That's why I have the whole issue of grace and redemption as the theme that Jesus passed on to me, and my brothers and sisters, because in point of fact, I do fall on occasion. That doesn't make me a hypocrite because I get up and try again and fall again. But again, the myth is out there. You know, all those people who go to church are a bunch of hypocrites, as if somehow or other you who are making the charge are so wonderful yourself. Your own reaction tells the tale. Science and religion don't mix. That's another myth out there that obviously as you watch your programs on the Science Channel and you get to see all of the tremendous complicated formula that go to either make up the human cell or the complexity of the universe and the various parts that are found in the universe and the 8 billion mysteries that are out in the universe, and you're saying, who put all this together? I mean, even now, with all the observation that we're still able to do, there's all sorts of questions about how the universe got there and how it continues, and a theory of what is the fate of the universe. And then when you look at yourself as a mere speck among that huge volume of lights out there, and you're saying, somebody figured all this out? Somebody actually put all that together? And then you look for the physics involved in all of this. And then when you kind of talk about religion over here somewhere, it seems like it's incompatible. The real thing is over here with the science. That's where it's at. The other thing looks like it's a bunch of magic and has no compatibility with scientific information. That's got to be obviously engaged and worked with. And finally, giving in to that temptation to be spiritually lazy. I think all of us have that problem on occasion. I just don't feel like doing it. It doesn't require a PhD to say on occasion, you know, it's no big myth that's preventing me from pursuing discipleship. The real issue is I'm lazy today and I don't feel like doing it. And all of us, I think, on occasion have had to face that. Me, you, all. So discipleship is something that we all work at. It's a portrait that's found in the New Testament. It's rather clear as to what it is. And this parish here and most of our parishes and our dioceses, in fact, all of them, work at helping you to be good disciples of the Lord. This particular parish, you obviously have worked very hard, very diligently. The leadership here, your pastor and lay leaders here, have worked very diligently to create an atmosphere whereby you can grow closer in discipleship with the Lord. And I think Father Gregory was telling me they're having a tent revival. One of the many attempts that we do here and other places to invite people to experience Jesus in a deeper level. So certainly my hope is that you would be supportive of that and tell your neighbors and friends about it so that once again, here at Incarnation, you will be that center, which you have been, where people can grow closer in their discipleship with the Lord. So, folks, thanks very, very much for your kindness to all of us, keeping the program going here, which I'm very, very happy with, and we're glad that you're happy with the program that you got. And I'll be happy to talk with anyone who wants to later on in the parish hall. And it is just an open forum.